are not necessarily those of our advertisers or staff.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
From the WGNS studio in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, welcome to the Financial Doctor Show, where cookie-cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it. If you're like me and you're tired of one-size-fits-all financial talk radio, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner. For more about the show, go to financialdoctors.net. Again, that's financialdoctors.net. There you can send us an email by clicking email the show. You can also find a link to our Facebook page as well. If you have questions or comments today, chime in 893-1450. Again, the number 893-1450. If you miss any part of today's broadcast, you can catch it tomorrow, 4 p.m. right here on WGNS Radio or also at financialdoctors.net. First, the weekly segment we are continuing on here in our sixth week of the Financial Doctor Show is the Ripoff Report, and this one is from the Investor Protection Trust or the Investor Protection Organization. You can visit their website at investorprotection.org. But last summer, a study was done by them that said nearly 7.3 million elderly or older Americans, one in five of those over age 65, had been ripped off in some type of financial scandal. And that all didn't all apply to financial services, but I thought that was an astounding number. One in five people over age 65 had been taken advantage of. And then it also quoted a study by MetLife, or a survey, that says that 34% of the people that actually scammed the elderly people were neighbors or family or friends. And that's why I wanted to put that as a part of today's show, because it really ties into our topic today. We're going to talk about conflicts of interest by certain financial planners and financial advisors and how they can really jack up your financial plan, retirement plan, investment plan. But one in five of those over age 65 taking advantage of, I think, is just flat out ridiculous. And we hope to educate the community here and our listeners on what real financial planning is. But you'll be able to find a link to this article that was published by the Investor Protection Organization on the website financialdoctors.net. So it is a great segue into our topic again, conflicts of interest and how they can jack up your financial plan. But first, we're going to spend some time with our musical guest. We have in the studio with me here today two members of a very talented group that was founded right here in Middle Tennessee called Throwing Gravity, and Chris Scott and Tom Dupree is with us. They just released a new album, and you'll be able to get a taste of some of their music today, as when we go to break, we'll be showcasing some of that during our break. So welcome, guys. Thanks for being part of the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
So it is a change of gears from the normal financial topics. We're going to get in. We're going to try to tell the truth about the conflicts of interest piece. But here, let's spend some time, since it is a big day for you guys and a big week for the release of your album. Won't you start by talking about an overview of the band and kind of what brought you together and what makes you special and different?
Well, what brought us together is our singer Nick is actually Chris's brother, and he started writing some songs, got a record together, and then put a band together after that around that record, and that's how we all came to be. We supported that record and toured on it, ended up hopping on a pretty good tour, and got signed at the end of it, and that was all great. The dream was coming true. Things were kind of on the up and up, so our first record was bought, put on the shelf, and then we were asked to cut a new record once we got signed, consisting of the same songs. So we did that, finished the record. It sounded great. And then we sat at home, and nobody would answer the phone in New York or Los Angeles. And we were told to just be patient. We were patient for the better part of a year. And then we got a phone call that we no longer had a record or a record deal or any money, and we're left with nothing. So we went through the period of obvious mourning, and then
of course
picked ourselves up, brushed ourselves off, and decided, you know what, we're talented enough to get a record deal one time. I think we can do it again. So we decided to cut another record, kept a couple songs, and added a bunch of new ones, and this is our third pass at making our first record, and we finally were able to release it on Tuesday.
So you did it yourself? You took away all the stuff mm-hmm. that was going on in the business, and yeah. kind of like me, went out on my own and said, look, the heck with everything else, yeah. we're going to make it happen because you believed in what you were doing.
Right.
And speaking with Chris before, your industry is filled with people just like mine, people that are shady and people that take advantage of people. So, and I've worked with a lot of songwriters in Nashville, Tennessee as financial planning clients. Never had any direct experience with working with artists, and Chris, you've been a longtime friend, but we've spoke at length about some of the things that go on in the music business, and I think it's very relevant for our listeners, you know, from a financial perspective, that these things happen in every industry, and tell us a little bit about what the experience has been in the music business, not only with people from the financial side, but the recording side, the production side.
I would definitely say the reason why there's so many labels that go in and out of business is because poor financial planning on their part. For instance, with our album, when we were given an advance, we were given over $200,000 to record an album. And it's pretty
much...
That seems
like a ridiculous amount of money.
We just did this record for less than 10.
So if that tells you why the record industry is going downhill as fast as it is, and it's not, you know, recovering from...
So it's not Napster.
No.
It's not Napster.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, obviously bands that are just starting out, it's great for them to just get people to listen to their music. But once you actually make it and you've been signed, the only way that you're ever going to make any money is if you tour and if you sell merchandise. And that's like t-shirts, not the actual CDs, because, you know, no artist actually thinks that they're going to make any money off their music from people just buying it. Most of the money that you make is from TV placements or
performing it live.
Performing it live.
That's where you're going to get your money.
Yeah, performance royalties. So I think that, you know, like I go back to what I was saying. I mean, we were given a $200,000 advance. We spent $10,000 alone just on getting pictures done for our album. Now, any genius can tell you that you don't need to spend that much money just to have pictures done. I mean, we had pictures taken before for like $150.
Yeah.
So
glamour shots, is that where you went?
Yeah, glamour shots.
You probably could make it artistic.
And oh, I'm
totally
sure.
Go for
yeah.
it. Oh, it's a joke band.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, I think the only way that the music industry is ever going to evolve is if they start actually hiring people that have financial degrees to work for their label instead of friends of friends. Because what happens is you'll have one person running the company, and then you have the label, and then you have all these people underneath them, and they all want to be the next person to discover that big band. So if... Let's say you're Jason. You're the you're an AR rep, and you've just been hired by Capitol, and they say go find the newest biggest band, and they hand you over an artist to start out with, like Garth Brooks or something like that, and he's already been established. You as an AR rep want to find that new band. You don't want to have to take care of trying to maintain something that's already been discovered. So if any of those people that work for that label that discovered you get fired, you get put by the wayside, and the new people that come in want to find the newest thing. So I think that's kind of what happened with us.
It's a very poor communication system that they have there, and it's very poor financial planning. You know, that's what this show's about.
Right.
The financial planning is very, very bad. The label mentality, at least from our experience, is very their mentality is ingrained with the old way of thinking. You know, 90s. Let's throw $1 million at it, and it'll go, and then we'll make 10. Well, it doesn't work that way anymore. That was when musicians could afford to sit around and do nothing and hope that it broke. It doesn't work that way anymore. As if you're going to be a musician now and you want to do it for a living, you have to think of yourself as an entrepreneur before you're a musician. You
right.
have to approach it as a small business, and you have to make sure that your bottom line meets. You know, you need to have positive cash flow. and you need to make sure that your business is producing revenue consistently and that you have revenue to report so that you can say to other small businesses, bands, we would be a good asset to you to play shows because we're going to produce income for the show.
Right. And, you know, besides artistic ability in becoming a musician or a singer-songwriter, what business sense have you learned in the last 3 or 4 years in dealing with people? Because you got the $200,000, they spent it all. But is there any advice you could say if you could do it over again? What would you do differently from a money management perspective for people that are just now wanting to get started? Because everybody thinks, you know, if I go write this song, sing this next song, get signed, that you're going to make a bunch of money. And and that probably isn't the case.
I would say the biggest lesson that we learned the hard way is that no one is going to care about your business more than you.
Exactly. Don't rely on other people to do the work that you think that they're going to do.
Make sure that you get it done. Yeah. And that's just, that's running a business 101. The saying is, do it. You got to do something. Want something done right, you do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it works, man. You need to make sure that you pay attention to your brand and set your brand up and your business structure up the way you want it done.
Well, Tom, you make a great point, and we make it here all the time on the Financial Doctor Show. The same thing that I tell my clients is, if you don't understand it, you don't need to be doing it.
Right.
Just because somebody else says it's the right thing. So the same thing applies here in the music business and any other business. I've been an entrepreneur for over a decade, and it's the same. Nobody takes it serious like you do. So for those of you looking at possible record deals, wanting that dream to happen, and take the advice of these guys and kind of protect yourself. Look at it like a business, treat it like a business, because it is a business, even though it is something you're very passionate about. But what is the plan? Tonight you have the deal. What's going on tonight, Chris?
We are playing at 12th and Porter, downtown Nashville.
Album release, correct?
Yes, right. Finally, it's here. We are releasing our new album's called "It's Not the End."
Fitting,
because all the stuff that we went through, and the show starts, I think, at 8 o'clock. Correct,
7:30.
Well, yes, doors are at 7:30, and it's 18 and up. It's going to be a fun show. I mean, we are going to. We're gonna party tonight. That's for sure. So if you want to come down, it's $10 to get in, but it's so worth it. They're gonna be shooting a video there for friends of ours band, Fools for Rowan. They're actually gonna be the last band to go on tonight. So definitely, if you are gonna be down in Nashville tonight, it's gonna be a good time.
Well, check it out. 12th and Porter, 8 p.m., Throwing Gravity, their album release party tonight. And they're great local talent here from Middle Tennessee. Get out and support them. Throughout the show, we're going to have some tidbits of their music. And if you need more information, there'll be links to my website on my website, financialdoctors.net or jasonwqualls.com. But you can also go directly to your website, throwinggravity.net. Again, that's throwinggravity.net. A lot of talent. Get out and listen to them tonight. If you're in Nashville and need something to do, 12th and Porter, 8 p.m., Throwing Gravity. And we're going to take a quick break here. And, Chris, you want to introduce what the first song is going to be a part of this break?
I believe this first song is called The Inside. And it's just a upbeat, it's a rock, dancey type track. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy playing it. And check it out.
Financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone that puts your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and Fee-Only Financial Life Coach at 878-2134 or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Lichtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in shopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.
Welcome back to the Financial Doctor Show. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, and now we have Mike Workman joining us with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group, an independent local insurance company. We're going to continue on. We're glad that Throwing Gravity got to be a part of the show. They may chime in a little bit later with their experiences, but their music will be continue to be a part of the show. But we're going to move into the topic of today, which is conflicts of interest and how it can jack up your retirement plan, financial plan, etc. And for those of you that don't know my story, I've talked a little bit about it in pieces here on the radio show. If you need to chime in, 893-1450 with questions or comments. But my story, I started out in the financial services business in 2001 on the sales side of the business. And from day one, me wanting to become a financial planner right out of the gate of college, I saw the big conflicts of interest from the start. So I'm very passionate about this. And what I saw in the industry from 01 and 02 and 03 is what really led me to look for a better way and look for a way to reduce those conflicts of interest when dealing with clients, because I always felt like I wanted to work for my client, not for a company. And those of you that knew my practice back in those days, I never said I affiliated with a company because I wanted to be viewed as someone that was independent. But no matter how much I tried back in those days, I couldn't get away from the conflicts of interest. So I've developed a deep passion for the truth of what real financial planning is. And Mike and I are going to discuss what that is. But what I believe, what I think that most people feel about financial planning, if they truly get a grasp of what it is, for the listeners out there, financial planning is not some event. It's not a 100-page report you get handed to you by some guy down at the bank. What it is, it's an ongoing process. It is a way to determine what your goals are and a systematic way to achieve them over time. It is not a one-time thing. And once we've kind of covered that, I believe that most people think that they have to work with someone that has conflicts of interest, someone that sells mutual funds, someone that sells insurance products. But I'm here to tell you that you don't. If you want to hire a true financial planner, the way to do it is not hire people with those conflicts of interest. Now, that's not to say that these people don't serve a need in our community, a need for their services, because they play a vital role in the implementation of financial plans. But if you want pure, unbiased, objective advice, you have to get away from people that sell financial products. And traditional financial planning, and when I say traditional, the way it's been done for the last 20, 10, 30 years, whatever time frame you're looking at, it is the source of the pain that you have felt in your financial life. I'm going to tell you why. That is because it's been used as a term by financial advisors to sell you financial products. And I'll say that again. It is a way a salesperson comes to you and goes, "Hey, I'm a financial planner and I do financial planning. Oh, but by the way, I want you to buy this financial product. I want you to buy this mutual fund, this insurance policy from me," because that's how they generate commissions. And I want to for the listeners, I want you to be educated that there is another way of doing things. But when you're working with someone that has these conflicts of interest, you have no way of knowing that what they're recommending is in your best interest or the interest of the company or the advisor. You don't, because they're not telling you full disclosure. They're not telling you how it really works. And many times, I just had a conversation just the other day with someone that dealt with a commission advisor, and they were confused, thinking they could not make a change because they'd already paid these high commissions, and that's not the case either. So you need to educate yourself on what it is, and we're going to talk at length about these conflicts of interest. But a big part of the problem, I feel, Mike, is ignorance on the part of financial advisors, is because they don't know any better. They're out here selling and slinging these financial products around because their broker dealer or their insurance company tells them that's the thing to do, and then they're not honest with their clients. And the people that are left to suffer are the clients. Now, Mike, you're an independent insurance agent, and I know there's commissions associated with insurance contracts, out of full disclosure here, but you're not holding yourself out to be a financial planner. You're an insurance person. You're an insurance advisor, and that's why your insight on the show is valuable here, because you know the distinct difference between being on the product side and the advice side.
Right, right. What we see as far as independent agencies, I mean, a lot of times out there that what we call in the industry captive agents, or typically the national, more branded type companies, you know, those agents are employees of the company. So, you know, where does the fiduciary responsibility lie? Does it lie on the client or the company? At the end of the day, who are they going to be looking out for, the paycheck or the one client? So in the independent side of it, you know, typically most independents have several different, and, you know, we certainly like that, the flexibility and not having that cookie cutter insurance coverage or company, and having that flexibility and choices with various companies, or carriers. But so a lot of times we see, you know, where there's independent agents, you know, different companies offer different commission rates, you know, percentage rates on policies, and you know,
and they always seem to sell those more than what's in the best interest of the client. Don't
absolutely,
they?
Absolutely. You know, why wouldn't they? You know, at the end of the day.
Well, they wouldn't, because it may not be right for the client.
That's right. Exactly right. That's right. 18% versus 12% on a policy. You know, there's that adds up after a couple of policies. You know, but nonetheless, you know, it's all about doing the right thing and giving the best price. And that's, you know, that's what we do at Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. You know, we want to take care of our clients, and we want our clients to be with us for the long haul. You know, we look at things long term, not just short term, and we want to make sure that our clients are being taken care of, and we're doing the best thing that serves them in their best interest.
Well, for more about Middle Tennessee Insurance Group, you can go to financialdoctors.net, and the link to the website is there. But we hopefully after today, the listeners will have a better view of what the conflicts of interest are in the financial services industry and how to adapt your decision-making when choosing the correct financial advisor. But let me put it to you like this, and if you're just listening to the Financial Doctor Show, we're talking about conflicts of interest in the financial planning industry. If you need to chime in, 893-1450. But if you're going to a medical doctor, let's say, here's another part of the problem. I mentioned earlier ignorance on the part of the financial advisor. Let's talk about why they're ignorant. And because I don't believe they mean in large part to hurt people. I just believe they don't know any better. And so let's talk about if you're going to see a medical doctor, would you want one that went to medical school or one that didn't go to medical school? Well, of course, you want one that's been to school and then has been training, been through residency, that had some experience and knows what they're talking about. Well, in the financial planning industry, I looked this up just the other day, and in my industry, there's what's the standard training is what's called the Certified Financial Planner designation. It's the hardest to get. It's the one that has a 3-year residency program before you can actually attain it, even though you've passed the test. It is the standard. And I looked up on CFP.net's website and just put in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and there's only 7 people in this town that are certified financial planners. But there's a heck of a lot more people out there running around saying they're financial planners and financial advisors. There's over 100,000 people in this town, and there's only 7 people that I would think that have the knowledge to start off with to advise you, and not all of those people are in practice. And one of them is my old teacher from Middle Tennessee State University, and he doesn't practice anymore. So that's a thing to look at. You wouldn't go see a doctor that hadn't been to medical school. Don't go see a financial planner that hasn't obtained a CFP. So that's a starting point here. So let's move on. What are some of the conflicts of interest that we're talking about when dealing with a financial advisor? Mike kind of touched on it, is loyalty. And whether you're dealing with insurance products or investment products, there's what's known as captive or captive agents or... when I say loyalty, where does their loyalty lie? And if we talk, let's just use, I'm not going to name any names. I wanted to on the show. But if we just say XYZ Insurance Company, if that's the only insurance product they can sell, that means every client that comes to them is going to get a recommendation from a product from that company. Is that correct, Mike?
That's correct.
And when you're working with an independent agent, they may have 5, 10, 15, 20 different companies. So you can see where the loyalty lies. The same thing applies on the investment side. If you're working with a financial advisor down at the bank or down at your another broker dealer, whether it be local or big, or a big life insurance company, don't you think they have certain things that they limit their advisors to sell? Of course you do, and I'll tell you why, because I used to be one of them. I used to be the one that said, hey, I think this is a good way to go for my clients. And they said, well, no, you can't do that. We don't allow you to sell that. And I said, well, it's in the best interest of the client. Well, we don't care. We can only sell these certain things. And that's what I'm talking about here, people, is figuring out where the loyalty lies. And when somebody has a relationship with their employer that pays their salary or their commission feeds through, do you think they really work for you as the client, or they really work for the company? And Mike knows, just as I know, if they're a captive insurance agent, they don't work for the client. They work for that insurance company.
Absolutely. It's all about that paycheck.
And Mike, being an independent insurance agent with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group, he works for his customers and his clients. And myself, I don't work for anybody but my clients, because I'm a fee-only financial planner, and I have no other boss. My boss is my clients. So you can see where the difference in loyalty there. So you need to think about who their employer relationships is. And one of the things that they would do is, well, I'm an independent contractor with such and such. I'm not really employed by them. Well, bull, they're the ones that dictate how much of a sales quota you have to meet. So if you don't think that sales quota, because to be affiliated with XYZ broker dealer, mutual fund broker dealer, or XYZ life insurance company, don't you think they have to meet minimum sales requirements to keep that agreement? I would tell you they sure definitely do. And that is a definite conflict of interest. So how do you know when they're recommending, let's say, a life insurance product that there may have not been a better one out there for you, but they recommended that one because they had to meet some kind of sales quota. That happens. I don't care if they're an independent contractor or not, or a W-2 employee in the financial services business. That is how it goes down. And the other thing, let's move on and talk about compensation structure. And this is one that I'm big on. And Mike, and you may have to educate me here a little bit. Has the insurance industry evolved in the last 4 or 5 years? Since, you know, I'm fee only, I don't sell product anymore. So is it still the same as it's always been? Is there any differences?
Not really. There hasn't been that I've seen in the past 3 or 4 or 5 years. You know, one of the things that I do want to mention is there are some incentives and some contest, monthly or quarterly contests and things like that, to try to give the agent a little more incentive to sell a particular product or a particular carrier.
Even on the independent side.
Even on the independent side, absolutely. So, you know, again, it's everywhere. It's all intertwined and like a spider web, as far as that's concerned. So, you know, my recommendation is to make sure you get to know your agent and have someone that here locally. Obviously, you know, we like to pride ourselves on doing business locally, and if you need to drop in and speak with your agent, our doors are always open. We always welcome any client that likes to come into the office, or just give us a call and ask us questions or concerns from time to time.
Well, I endorse Middle Tennessee Insurance Group, and Mike and Grant over there. Remember, the link to their website is on financialdoctors.net. So if you're just tuning in to the Financial Doctors Show, we're talking about conflicts of interest and how it can jack up your financial plan. So if you want to comment or have a question, 893-1450. Let's move on to compensation within the financial planning industry. Now, I rant all the time about commissions, but commissions is not the only way. And everybody should understand commissions. If you sell an investment product and there's a commission tied to it, the financial advisor gets that commission. The trick is, how much is he getting paid? How much does that influence his recommendation? And should it have any bearing on your mind? I'm here to tell you that I've seen it happen to some of the best advisors in this community. And I was just telling Tom before the show that makes no difference at all. But what I was saying is I've met, let's just say, 100 financial advisors in my 7-8 years in the financial services business. There's only about 2 of them that I would trust because they're on the product sales side. And does that mean I'm very untrustworthy? I don't know, maybe. But it really, what I based it on is because I felt like every time I turned around, they were doing something that was unethical and kind of questionable whether or not it was in the best interest of the client, and it all came back to how they were compensated. So if you have someone that's giving you advice, you'll never know whether what their recommendations are, or because they're getting paid a commission, or because it's in what's in your best interest. So I would tell you there is another way, and that's to hire someone that gets paid only for providing advice, not for selling financial products. And the financial industry has also addressed this in the last few years by coming away from the commission model and getting involved in what's known as the fee-based model. And this is a hybrid model. Fee-based sounds a lot like fee-only, but it's not. And I think these guys are just as much scum of the earth as some of the other ones out there, because what the fee-based model is, I mean, you can sell products on commission, and you can also charge a fee on the account size of the investment assets. And the reason why this one is so shady is because where they're, and they'll tell you they don't have any conflicts of interest, but where the conflict of interest comes in for them is that they'll say, well, we have an incentive to grow your account size. Yeah, well, they have an incentive to grow your account size. That is true. But what happens if you're in a situation where you need to access some of those investment assets to pay down debt, and that would shrink your account size? Do you think their conflict of interest is going to lead them to actually objectively advise you to pay off that debt? Because they know if your account size gets reduced, so does their compensation. And that's a big conflict of interest. And the other thing that I have a problem with these, the fee-based guys, is that since they charge a percentage of your account size, well, there's usually made up of two asset classes in an investment account: equities and fixed income, or stock mutual funds or bond mutual funds, to say it in a more simplistic way. Well, they don't charge as much of a fee on bond mutual funds as they do stock mutual funds. So what their incentive is there is to keep you overly weighted in stock mutual funds, therefore taking way too much risk. But the reason they did that is because their compensation is higher. That's the conflict of interest. So don't fall prey to the fee-based model either. And again, we talk about it all the time. Full disclosure, if you know what your financial advisor is getting paid, you'll have a better idea and you can grasp of whether or not to hire them or fire them. And there's a great book I have on my website. If you go to jasonwqualls.com, again, jasonwqualls.com, go to the resources section. I have a book there that is how to evaluate your financial advisor. It's called Fire Your Financial Advisor and Hire a Financial Planner. And it talks about, it goes in more in depth about what we're talking here today: the conflicts of interest, how to tell what the conflicts are, and how to evaluate and what to do once you've discovered them, and how to make sure you protect yourself. So jasonwqualls.com, go to the resources section. If you're just tuning in to the Financial Doctor Show, you can chime in 893-1450. We're going to take another small break, and we're going to be graced with the presence of the music from Throwing Gravity. Chris, what song do you want to take a break with this time?
I think the next one we got up is Best Time. This is a song that we wrote that we're really proud of. We actually dedicated the song to the troops that are overseas taking care of us. So let's check it out.
In your everyday masquerade, you're starting to see
financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone that puts your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and Fee-Only Financial Life Coach at 878-2134, or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Lichtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in chopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.
Welcome back to the Financial Doctor Show. If you need to chime in, questions or comments, 893-1450. We're going to continue on with our topic today, conflicts of interest in the financial planning world, and how, what to look for, how to avoid them, how to protect yourself. Because if you're just tuning in, I'm very opinionated on this fact because I spent years on the sales side of the business, and I understand the conflicts because that is ultimately what led me to become what's known as a fee-only financial planner, where I don't sell financial products and I don't get paid commissions because I don't believe it's a way to do business when you can truly, where you can truly work for your clients. Let's talk about the investment side of things. And, you know, one of the troubling things is, and I kind of went through this too, and I came out of school with a finance degree, and in about a week I'll add three more letters to my name as MBA with an emphasis in accounting, but and aside from being a certified financial planner. But when I came out of school with a finance degree, I thought I knew a lot about money. And then I came into the financial services business and started selling investments. And the large insurance company that I worked for gave me about 5 days of training. 5 days. And then I was supposed to be trusted to go out and handle people's money. My parents, friends, family, other people in the community. And I really felt like I tried to learn as much as I could on my own. But really, 5 days is all the training that I was given after getting my license to sell investments. That's ridiculous. And I wanted to bring that up because it kind of goes on to the CFP. You know, the CFP takes about a year or two process, and then you got to have 3 years of experience in the financial planning business before you obtain the certified financial planner designation. So let me tell you about the guys that don't have the CFP or a similar credential. What their training is like. And I'm going to talk about one of the big investment companies that's, you know, it's our neighborhood investment company you see on TV. I'm not sure what their slogan is, and they do a little bit of door knocking here in town. But here's how they're trained. And I'll tell you why I know how they're trained, because I actually took a job with them. Actually, I turned it down. I accepted a position with this company and before I went on to the company I chose to work for in 2002. But I said, yes, I'll take the job. And then before I started, I said, no, I won't take the job. But here's what their training process involved. They're going to send me to another state for 2 weeks. So 10 days, they're going to teach me about investments. And they didn't care what my college degree was in. They didn't care if it was in home economics or if it was in basket weaving. All they cared about, well, we hired you. We think you're a good salesperson. They wanted good salespeople. We're going to train you how to sell investments for 2 weeks, and you get to come home and go sell all your friends and family. And that's how it is at the banks. That's how it is at the big insurance companies. That's how it is at the investment companies. There's no school to go to learn to sell investments. You come out of school, hopefully with a background in finance, like I did. You spend some time in the business. You get a designation that says you know what you're talking about. You spend even more time learning and having mentors. You spend a lot more time than that researching and studying on your own. And then finally, you have some experience and some knowledge where you can actually help people. Not to disinclude life experience. You have some life experience to go along with. And that's a lot more than some 1 week or 2 week training course. So if you're out there taking advice from someone that doesn't have any credentials, they've went through about a week's worth of training to sell you investments. So if that's the case, you don't really get to wonder why your investments aren't performing well. And I was just talking with Mike from Middle Tennessee Insurance Group off the air about the insurance industry, because, you know, my first license was an insurance license back in, I don't know, 2000 or 2001. And I thought, if I could just pass this test, I'll know everything there is about life insurance. And I didn't know jack about life insurance. And Mike's going to give us some insight about that side of the business.
Even when I was, when I was getting my license, I actually went to the classes and all. And you know, everybody in the class was asking about real-world situations and real-world questions. And the instructor said, well, we're really not going to cover that because that's not on the test. So
let's not worry about what helps the clients the most. We won't talk about it because it's not on the test. Because what they do in these classes that help you pass the licensees exams, they just care about passing the test. They don't care if you know about anything of what happens in the real world. Is that correct?
All they're trying to do is from the instructor or the school or whoever certified people giving that they're teaching the instructor in the class. All they care about is increasing their numbers as far as statistical data, saying, you know, this many people went through our program and this many people passed as far as a percentage. So, you know, ultimately that's what they're concerned with at the end of the day, not actually educating and making sure that they're advising and teaching real world situations and, you know, how to handle the various problems or discrepancies that may come up or looking out at the end of the day for what's going to be the insurance agent's clients.
Well, like I said in the beginning of the show, these conflicts of interest is what led me to become a fee-only financial planner, and I just don't see how there's another way. I'm not saying that everybody that is out there selling investments and calling themselves a financial planner that gets paid a commission is a bad person. I'm just saying that you're doing a hack job for your clients, because you have conflicts of interest that there's no way you can remove them. And even if you try to say, hey, I'm always doing what's in the best interest of my clients, I don't care if I'm paid a commission or not. Well, I'm here to tell you that when it comes down to your family eating or not, and you have to sell a product to get paid, and you have to consider the best interest of the client, what are you gonna do? And I've seen it happen all the time. And that's what I'm trying to help the listeners avoid, is you need to be seeking objective advice from a fee-only financial planner. And like I said before, people that get paid a commission to sell financial products serve a great purpose in our society. They are the people that help us implement solutions, but they are not advisors, in my opinion. And for more on this subject, go to my website, jasonwquals.com, click resources. There's a couple resources there about, is your advisor a fiduciary, which we haven't even touched on today, and another resource about how to determine if your advisor is comprehensive, meaning do they cover your entire financial life. And then there's another link there that's actually all third-party comments about what others are saying about fee-only financial planning and what others are saying about people that accept commissions. So jasonwquals.com, click resources. If you're just tuning in to the Financial Doctor Show, welcome. We're talking about conflicts of interest. Me, Mike Workman from Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. Questions, comments in the last 15 minutes of the show, 893-1450. But Mike, were you about to say something there before I cut you off? If you weren't, no big deal.
No.
I thought I interrupted you for a second. So I hope that's making sense to you, that, you know, if someone is compensated by what they sell you, you do not know if it's in their best interest. Well, let's spend some time talking about fiduciary responsibility, and that's what I've spent some time in previous shows talking about. But traditionally speaking, and there's a lot of laws that are kind of up in the air with the Dodd-Frank legislation that mandates this sort of thing, but traditionally speaking, if someone sells financial products, whether it be insurance or investments, they have to act in a suitability or follow the suitability standard of care, which means they only have to recommend products that fit your age, your income, and your objectives. They do not have to disclose conflicts of interest. They do not have to recommend what is in your best interest, because there is a difference. Just because it fits your objective and your age and your income levels on the recommendation doesn't mean it's the best thing for you. So what a fee-only financial planner abides by, and what the salespeople do not abide by, is the fiduciary standard of care. And to say it in layman's terms are, their butt is on the line with every recommendation they make. They have to act in your best interest. So you need to hire someone that has a fiduciary duty to you. That will really solve all your problems. Because if they're standing behind and signing documents to say, I'm your fiduciary, then you know that they have to disclose conflicts of interest, or they could be held up for legal ramifications. So look for that fiduciary duty. That's the key. So if you have a financial advisor now, just ask them, or do you follow the fiduciary standard? And they say, well, no. Well, ask them, are you willing to? And they say, yeah, sure, I'll follow the fiduciary standard. We'll have them put it in writing. And if they don't put it in writing, fire them right then and go find someone who does. And like I mentioned earlier, there's only 7 certified financial planners when you look on the CFP website. I think there's a few more, as I know. I think they don't come up as far as zip code. But I think there's about 10 or 12 total in Murfreesboro that are certified financial planners. So look at that fiduciary standard of care and find out what they stand behind before that. But Mike, we've touched on a lot, and you know my stance on this topic. I'm very passionate about it, and I'm passionate about it for one thing only, because I wanted so much when I came in the business in 2001 to believe that I was going to be with this great company that wanted to do what was in the best interest of the client. And then I quickly realized they didn't care about what was in the best interest of the client. They care about selling products. And I'm willing to debate any commission financial advisor out there that has this conflict of interest. Be willing to come on the show if you want to, and we'll have a good respectful debate about it. But I seen that firsthand, and I just lost all my respect for the industry. And not only in 2001, 2002, but I continued to see it until I left and started my own firm and really found a better way to give financial planning advice and remove those conflicts of interest. So I know we've had discussions, and we talked about the captive agent stuff, and this one irks me too. I don't know how bad it bothers you, but it really, just to think, I'm going to go hire this insurance company, but they can only sell one company. That just really, why would anybody want to do that? I just don't see, if you can go do it independently, why would you want to go work for one company that dictates what you can do for your clients?
Well, I had a situation that just come about this week. Had a potential client in my office, and we were looking at all of his insurance needs and taking a look at everything. We asked a lot of questions all the time with clients or potential clients that they've probably or most of the time never been asked before. And, they're concerned why we're asking those questions, but we want to know the comprehensive, the full story, the big picture of what type of assets.
You want to help them, right?
Well, that might be a part of it, we want to know what their financial situation is. We don't have to have any great detail, but just a quick little snapshot. So there's other products out there, other things that we can offer to put in place as far as protecting that client, their assets, future assets, and, nest eggs. So we explain and go over coverages and limits. People don't understand that there's certain limits to all the insurance policies that a lot of people especially on the auto side, that I've got insurance, everything is fine, everything's taken care of, and that is far from the case in a lot of situations. And when I ask the question, well, didn't your agent explain this stuff to you?
Why heck no, you know better than that. They don't care about anything but making that sale. But I don't care what the ads they run, how great they were at yesterday's Christmas party. 90% of them only care about making that sale, and they'll do whatever and say whatever to make that sale. I've seen it happen time and time again for the last 8 years.
But the client, here's what happened to round out the story. The guy asked me, we came in, his overall package with home and auto and some liability umbrella insurance, about $1,000 less annually.
That's what you saved him?
That's what we're going to save the guy. And of course, he's, this kind of sounds like a situation that may be too good to be true type situation. Why is this so much lower than what I've been paying?
Because your other guy was a hack.
Well, my response was, well, actually, if you look at it from the perspective of why is your insurance so high compared to all the other?
How is doing it the right way cheaper? It's because you have someone looking out for your best interest, like Mike at Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. And look, before we bring Throwing Gravity back to the last 5 minutes of the show, I want to talk about something that I've had a note on my list to talk about, and that is the cost of doing business with someone with these conflicts of interest, just like Mike in Mike's industry. He saved someone $1,000 by helping them doing the right thing, and it surprised the heck out of the guy. I don't know how you quantify bad advice. I don't know how you quantify what it costs you. I have a new blog that I wrote, What is Your Financial Advisor Costing You? And I tried to put in some general assumptions, but if someone is not helping you, we're not talking about you bought the wrong product and you should have bought a different one and it costs you a commission. That we can quantify. we know what those ripoffs are. But if someone flat out doesn't give you the advice you need to accomplish a goal, who knows what that is? And that's more than commissions and expenses, because I can look at your investment account and tell you the commissions you're paying and tell you what it's costing you in annual expenses. But what if you have products you don't need? What if you don't have products you should own and something bad happens? Or what if your money is invested in a way that when 2008 happens again, when the market drops 40% and you lose half your money, you know, what if that happens again? What does that cost? Well, we can quantify those things, but if somebody flat out is just not helping you with all areas of your financial life, we can't quantify that. So just to recap on this situation, make sure you're working with a certified financial planner. Make sure you're working with someone that's a fiduciary. And lastly, most importantly, is find someone that doesn't have conflicts of interest to help you with your overall financial plan. I'm not saying you should take, you know, you still have to deal with people that sell financial products, but someone that is your overall general financial quarterback should not be someone that's compensated by selling you something. So let's get Throwing Gravity back here on the air. And we'll just take a quick break. Zach, can you just run the commercials while we get Throwing Gravity back in here? And we'll be right back on the Financial Doctor Show.
Is your financial advisor really a salesperson? Traditional financial planning is the source of the stress that most people feel in their financial life. This is because most financial advisors are driven by how to sell you financial products rather than providing sound financial advice. The way your advisor is compensated really matters. Hire someone that puts your interest first and really works for you, not a mutual fund broker dealer or an insurance company. If you're looking for someone that can provide you with sound financial advice that's objective and unbiased, call me, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner and Fee-Only Financial Life Coach at 878-2134 or go to jasonwqualls.com.
Hello, this is Grant Lichtenwalter with Middle Tennessee Insurance Group. We specialize in chopping your home and auto insurance out with the top-rated companies in the country. And even though our rates are low, we pride ourselves on our service and our attention to detail. We save the average household over $500 a year, while in most cases increasing their coverage. Call Middle Tennessee Insurance Group today at 898-0053. Your home for affordable coverage with complete protection.
Welcome back to the Financial Doctors Radio Show right here on WGNS. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner. We have 5 minutes left in today's broadcast. If you missed any part of the show, go to financialdoctors.net. And like I said, chime in questions, 893-1450. We've talked all day about conflicts of interest. We've been had some great local music by some local artists, Throwing Gravity. And welcome back, Chris.
What's
and
going
Tom.
On? Thank you.
So if you want to promote, do a little bit of a self-indulgent and promotion for your show tonight, because then ultimately I want you guys to do well. I want you guys to do extremely well. I've known Chris at least 10 years.
Yeah,
and
long time.
Anything that I can help someone that's not only local, but also someone that I've known for a while, that I believe is going to do extremely well. So we have the show tonight at 8th and Porter.
12th and Porter.
12th and Porter. Yeah, what am I thinking? I used to work a block.
I thought you
worked
with numbers, man.
I have a calculator, man. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. It's on my phone.
But 12th and Porter, 8 p.m. It is correct. The kickoff for the album release.
Yep.
18 and up, $10 a head.
$10 at the door. We got four great bands.
Four great bands.
Well, including us. So three great bands and one semi-mediocre band, maybe.
Yeah. And for more information about your band, what if they want to pick up your album online? Is it throwinggravity.net?
Yeah, go to throwinggravity.net. It's going to launch you to everywhere you want to be.
And if they want to preview beforehand, what's the best place to get a clip?
You can preview everything on iTunes. You can go to MySpace, Facebook, Amazon. Everything/Throwing Gravity. Any website you can think of, /Throwing Gravity, we're on it. And we've got a web store up there, got some cool merch stuff you can grab, all available through our website at throwinggravity.net.
Well, if you're in Middle Tennessee, especially in the Nashville area, 8 p.m. and in Nashville, 12th and Porter, check them out. And also on the website, throwinggravity.net, there'll be links to the Financial Doctor on the financialdoctors.net website as well. And I'll do my best to get some type of mix working preview the songs instead of just putting a link to your site. So maybe whoever helps you with your website may get with me, and we'll figure out a way.
I'll have my people get with your people.
Have your people call my people.
Little pencil in.
Awesome. Well, that's going to wrap it up almost for the Financial Doctor Show here today. And so let me go ahead and check out of here. Thanks to our producer, Zach. Thanks for the guests. Thanks for Mike for being a part of the show. And remember, there is more than one way to skin a cat when you're talking about financial planning. It does not always involve financial products. Seek a financial planner that is your fiduciary, that does not have conflicts of interest. If you need a free, complimentary second opinion on your investments or your financial plan, call me, 878-2134, or go to financialdoctors.net. Till next week, I'm Jason Qualls, certified financial planner, fee-only financial planner. Thanks for tuning in to the Financial Doctor Show, where cookie-cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it.